On today's episode, I hop across the pond to talk to a woman I met in a mastermind group that I'm a part of who is child-free, not by choice. She's also not married. And we connected over just talking about womanhood in general and what it means and what are some of the things that women should think of when they're starting to get to the point in their lives where it is culturally time to get married and have children. So I'm really excited to have her on the podcast today, and I think you'll really get a lot out of this conversation. Donna Lee Fields, author, podcast host, teacher trainer, creator of the award-nominated website scaffoldingmagic.com, travels the world giving talks and workshops to facilitate educators to create dynamic learning environments in which students develop agency and those skills that will make them viable in the future and professional world.
You're listening to the Life Beyond Infertility podcast with Charlie Dice, the show that teaches you how to get unstuck from the grief and loss of infertility so that you can accept and embrace a joyful life beyond it.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast. I am excited because today I am joined from a guest from across the pond, actually, Donna Fields. She is a teacher trainer and she is joining us from Spain. Her and I met in a group mastermind that we're both in, and I'm really excited to talk to her today and get her perspective on something that might be a little bit different than the guests that I normally talk to, but my mission with this podcast is to always offer different perspectives, different frameworks for how to find joy and fulfillment in your life. So welcome, Donna, to the podcast.
Charlie, thank you so much for being here. And I just want to say I'm just so impressed with your open-mindedness and flexibility because, yeah, I think we're going to take a little different path today. But in the end, it's going to be the path of compassion and, you know, respect for who we are on the planet. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So I'll let you introduce yourself and what you're currently doing, how you got to Spain, and what your story is as far as your path to motherhood, or in your case, non-motherhood.
Sure. Yeah. I'm originally from New York. I grew up in the suburbs. I lived in Manhattan. I decided I needed something different. So I moved to New Mexico and became a teacher there and just loved it. I would be there the rest of my life if I could. But in New Mexico, you need to learn Spanish. So I decided to come to Spain. And I thought a month here, I'd be here a month and learn Spanish and go back. And I've been here more than 20 years later. And it works for me. I miss some things in the States, but I'm very comfortable here. And with technology today, goodness, you can be connected no matter what. So that's where I am. And I'm a teacher trainer now, which I absolutely love because it's about finding different ways to give the same messages or different messages in different ways. This podcast is about being child-free, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes not. I was born not wanting children. I think that it was pretty clear to me. I never had the urge, never had the urge to get married either. So it worked out really well because I'm not married and don't have children.
And there you go.
When I first saw your podcast, I thought, oh, well, maybe Charlie wants to explore the idea of not wanting children, voluntarily not having children. And I thought, when you approached me and said, yeah, maybe we could talk about it, I really am impressed by the way that you reframe things. And I think that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you and I had talked previously about trying to find a topic of discussion for the podcast, we really found common ground with our childhoods and how there was some trauma there. So can you speak to how that really gave you the perspective you had on whether or not you wanted to start a family?
That's a really nice way of putting it. I was brought up in a household with a very narcissistic mother, very domineering and very controlling. And that wasn't a very healthy environment. So without putting any energy into that, I'm 63 now. And I have had a lot of time to look back and work through these issues. And you never really work through them all, unfortunately, but you get better about dealing with them and you get better about finding new perspectives on them. So in my case, I was brought up by this mother who was incredibly narcissistic, controlling. What it did for me is that it made me more proactive in finding my passion and finding my viewpoint because she wouldn't let me have it. And I'm saying all this because I think it really did have to do with not wanting children. I say I was born not wanting children, and I think that is true. But even if I did, I think that my upbringing might have really squashed that, because I did not have the tools to give any child a healthy upbringing. When you were told how to think and what to do all your life, then all you know, you don't really know who you are. And I think it would have been really detrimental to any young little being on the planet for me to have control over that person, whether it came out of my body or whether it was adopted. So let's start there. How does that sound?
Yeah, absolutely.
I, at one point, really wanted to adopt. That was really clear to me. To be really honest, I wanted to save a child on the planet. I thought, yeah, that's my mission. I'm going to adopt. And I went through this, I was never in a financial situation where I saw that being viable, but I still wanted it. And at some point, as I said, I'm 63, someone told me that when I turn 50, nobody is going to give me a child to adopt. And I didn't know that, but I thought, okay, I've always had animals, and animals are, they do it for me, because anyone who has animals know that they love you no matter whether you show them love or not. And I did show, I mean, I needed animals. Each one has shown me ways to bring out nurturing a little more. Again, I did not learn that when I was growing up, so it's something I had to learn. I became a teacher, and through teaching, through having students, I was able to work through a lot of the development, emotional developments that you need. A lot of mothers do this with children. I did it with my students. So again, it wasn't necessary for me to have my own child, and I would have messed that child up. The students at least could go home and get out of the classroom when I was first beginning. Eventually, I learned how to create a very healthy learning environment. But in the beginning, it wasn't as healthy as it really could have been. So what my question for you, Charlie, is your listeners, most of them want children and haven't been able to have them, is what I understand. We need to really, I think that having children is just as much philosophical as biological. And I think we need to really think about why we want children, because I could make a list, and you know this as well as I do. Do we want children because we want to replicate parts of ourselves? Do we want children because we want to keep a partner? Do we want children because, how many reasons do you think people want children? Which are the healthy reasons and which are maybe inappropriate reasons? What do you think?
Yeah, it's so timely that you bring that up, because I just wrote an article about ethical family building. And while that's not necessarily the topic of our discussion, it does come into play, because the question comes up of, just because you can, does that mean you should? And to your point, I do talk to quite a few people who have gone through a significant amount of time through their infertility journey. And then it comes to a point where they maybe are able to be successful through, whether that's a new technology that came out or things have changed in their financial situation. And then they ask me, why do I feel like I might not want this now? I've wanted it for 8, 10, 12 years. And then now that I can actually possibly obtain it, I'm having all these thoughts about, maybe this isn't really what I want. I do enjoy my life the way it is now. I'm satisfied. I'm content. And so I think that's something that women tend to not share, because it's stigmatized and taboo. Like, oh, how could you not want children at all? Or even when you did and then you changed your mind. Changing our minds tends to be something that society, you know, looks at as, I don't know what the right word is, but how could you do that? How could you just not want something that you've always wanted? And so I think it's really a great question. And I love your point of having maternal instinct doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a biological child in order to present that to the world. And so you having animals and me having animals and you having a teaching position, there's so many other ways that we can fulfill that maternal instinct if we feel it. If you don't feel it, that's totally fine too. But if you feel that need, then yeah, I think that absolutely explore all the different options and ways that there are to do that. So, you know, I might have gotten off on a little bit of a tangent there, but back to your original question, I think it is something that people really need to look at from a philosophical standpoint and be honest with themselves. Who cares about what the rest of society is pressuring you or even your partner if you have one, is pressuring you to do, if it's not something that you really feel called to do, or you think is something that's going to bring you joy, I talk about following your joy all the time on here, then you don't have to do it.
I agree. There are so many things we can do biologically. It doesn't mean that we ought to do that or we need to do it. And I'm going to bring up fairy tales into this conversation really briefly, because what you were saying is it's not always acceptable in society not to have children. It's also not acceptable in society not to get married. In other words, fairy tales, TV shows, mm-hmm. series, they almost all have they are directed towards finding your man or finding your woman, getting married, having children. There is just this sort of inertia towards growing up and getting married and having children. First of all, we don't need to get married to have children. It's not biological necessity. But secondly, right. Do we want to get married, or is it something we feel pressured to do? I am the third daughter in a family. I, for some reason, never felt pressured either to get married or to have children. My sisters and my brother did it all for me. So that was all the pressure. But I never felt that pressure. And I think that's really valuable on the one hand. But I grew up in a Western society where every television show, every movie, every book I read, the girl grows up, plans her wedding, and has children. For some reason, maybe it's because I grew up with a mother who was so domineering, I refuse to accept that as my must. And when I first sent a message to you saying, Charlie, would you like to explore the idea of intentionally not having children? It was just that. I would like girls and I would like women to feel more confident about going into that reflection. Am I doing it because of inertia? Am I doing it because of society? Or am I having children, not having children, getting married, not getting married, because that's what resonates for me? And that was my initial impetus in writing to you, and it still is. I really want people to just be more conscious of the decisions we make, because that's going to help ourselves and everyone around us.
Yeah, and for those women listening, or even younger girls listening, how do you recommend they make it a conscious thing to actually decide, or at least know how to decide if that's something that they want? Are there things that you did that really cemented that for you, or how do you recommend women do that?
I think reflection is the best thing we can do. Reflection is all of our superpowers. We need to decide, just consider things, visualize them in our minds, and figure out if it resonates with us right now. Maybe it'll resonate with us in 5 years, maybe not. I think that if you're going into a religious marriage, usually the religious leader will ask you a lot of questions before she or he decides to perform the ceremony. Why don't we have the same thing before women get pregnant? I think it's very easy to have a couple of months, for goodness sake, why not, of solid reflection, writing down responses to how it would feel to have that child. There's one couple that I've been watching that did exactly this, but they did it so intentionally. They got married thinking they were going to have 5 or 6 children. They were of Greek origin, and that was what everybody expected them to do. And that's what they expected to do. And as the marriage went on, they became very, very active in the business world. And the wife, at some point after 10 years of marriage, finally looked at her husband and said, you know what? Maybe we should think about children. And she said, it took me a lot to have it come out of my mouth, but she said to him, I'm not sure I want children. And what they did is went through a whole day and then a whole month and a whole year of exactly how children would fit into their lives. And they realized it was not going to fit into their, they were not going to fit into their lives. And it was such an important exercise. The answer to your question is reflect, consider, visualize, and be as specific as possible about your feelings about giving up certain things, because you're going to have to give up things. Also, children are going to add a lot, but we need to be very realistic about it and not be so romantic about it.
Yeah, I love that. And to your point, you and I had just briefly before we started recording touched on, I know the listeners can't see Donna, but she's sitting in front of a shelf of books. And so we started talking about books, and we're both avid readers. And back to your point about fairy tales, what are the types of resources then that women who are questioning, maybe even as little girls, whether this is a path that they want, are there resources out there that you've come across that have really helped you in reflecting and framing that decision in your mind?
I wish you had asked me about this 10 minutes ago, Charlie, because I have it. It's okay. I have these books here, but I'll send them to the titles to you afterwards. So at least you have them in the show notes. But I think so many things I've read about strong women, and some of these strong women have children. Some of them don't have women, don't have children, but it's about thoughtful women who have considered where they want their mark in the world. If we're going to use a little bit of pop culture, Oprah Winfrey consciously did not get married, even though she was asked. She consciously did not have children because she felt that, from what I understand, I don't know her, she didn't tell me this herself, but she felt that having children would take away from the work she's doing on the planet. And I think that is incredibly selfless. I think that's what we need to do. I will find some of the titles for you, but mostly it's looking around and looking what my sisters have gone through, looking at my neighbors with children, looking at the people I've grown up with, and also growing up with a mother that probably didn't want children. She was an incredibly talented artist, and what she wanted was a career, but she was brought up in a time when that was not acceptable. She was expected to get married and have children, and I knew I was not something that filled her up. And I'm not saying that to feel sorry for myself at all. That's what I felt, and I think that was probably true. So do your listeners want to be someone who have a child because everyone expects it, and yet what they really want is something else? I think that's very important to consider. So it's about reflection again.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And just to have you say that out loud, I think is something that a lot of people just wouldn't even consider doing. I'm sure that your mother loved you, and I'm sure that you loved her in your own ways. But to be raw and honest like that and say, I really don't think that she wanted to be a mother. And I think there's a lot of women out there that do have children that on the hard days, maybe on the easy days, I don't know, I'm not a parent, maybe they say that to themselves. And I just think it's important to know, or to let them know, that's an okay feeling to have. Yes, you do have this commitment now to these children for the rest of their lives, but it's okay to feel those things. Now, in your case, though, with a woman, with a mother like that, I say that it's okay to feel that way, which it is, but then how would you have preferred your mother to have shown a different side of herself in order to be more nurturing to you?
I don't know if she was capable of it, Charlie, so I'm not sure if I can answer that, but I want to say something that might be a little bit controversial. I believe that we all choose our lives. I'm very spiritual. I'm not defined by one religion, but I have deep, deep faith. And I really believe that I chose my parents and I knew what I was getting into and that it was going to be difficult. So what could my mother have done to be more nurturing? I don't think there was much. I think she could have gone to therapy. And I know that her sister encouraged her to, and she decided not to. Who knows if that would have helped or not. But I chose my circumstances, I really believe, and it was to learn different challenges. And I think that I'm learning them. I think it was a really good decision of these are the challenges I wanted, to be brought up by someone who was ambivalent about having children. And I don't think that's such a polemic thing, dramatic thing to say, because I think it was true. And I think it's just, again, we need to look at things realistically and think, if my mother didn't really want children, is that something I want? I know someone who was brought up in a very similar circumstance. She is the most incredibly loving mother you could possibly imagine. So it can go both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a mother who was extremely nurturing, and that's all that she ever wanted to be. And she's an amazing mother. Obviously, I'm biased, but it was something that even I growing up didn't feel called to do, even though I was raised in that environment that was very maternal and very nurturing and very kid-centered. And obviously, I changed my mind when I got married. But even then, back to your point of reflection, we did not start trying and we did not even consider family building until we had been married 7 or 8 years. So it wasn't something that we felt called to just jump right into. at the time, we were very focused on our careers and building our homestead here and making sure that we were stable. And I know there's never a right time to do this and you're never going to be, but you know, it's something that I want people to know, even if it is something that you're called, you feel called to do, you don't have to jump into it right away.
That's very true. You mentioned in the beginning that I live in Spain. Here in Spain, people don't have children until they're in their 30s, and I would say mid-30s. Mm-hmm. They really think carefully about it. And it's mostly a financial decision. I think that's also very important to consider. But it all needs to be very conscious. I did have a question. This is what I want to ask you. You didn't start thinking about it with your husband until 6 or 7 years afterwards. But isn't that a conversation that you had before you got married?
Absolutely. Yes. I should have said that. When we first met and started dating, I was very open and honest with him that at that time, I didn't want children at all, period. And so I said, if this is something that you absolutely have to have in your relationship and your life, that's totally fine. But then I'm not the right partner for you. So I was very upfront with him. And I think that's important. I think that if that's truly how you feel at the time that you meet someone that you see yourself spending a significant amount of time with, that you really owe it to yourself because you don't want to fall into that resentment trap. You don't want to be forced to do something that doesn't fulfill you from a base level, a human level. So yeah, I was completely honest with him and he still said, I love you. I don't care necessarily if you provide me with children or not. And I always say I give him credit because that's a hard thing, I think, for a man to do. We talk about the female side of things, but also from a male standpoint, there's a very pronatalist approach where we have to propagate the species, and that's also their role. And so I think it was very bold of him and strong of him to say, I will be okay as well with just you as my partner. If we don't have children, that's fine too. So I always tried to give him credit where it's due for being that strong, confident male representation of that.
The other thing is you had a conversation, and whether you have a conversation with your partner or a conversation on paper with yourself, I think that it's going to open a lot of windows into your soul that you might not have expected. And so the conversation you had was really important. I'm just seeing it reflected right back at you, your opinions. Something is, for some reason, when you were talking, it brought up again the fact that some people really just need animals, like me. I just need animals. But some people say, and they've said it to me, I have dogs. So if I can take care of dogs, I can take care of children, which is so not true. So not true. I see myself with my animals and I think that's what I can do. That's it. I take such good care of them. But a lot of the day, they're just following me around or they're sitting on the sofa or whatever they're doing, but I don't have to interact with them. And that is nothing to do with children. You need to be interactive, not 24 hours a day. But someone once said to me a long time ago, having a child is like having a tattoo on your face. You cannot make it go away. So you need to be all in. And for me, being all in is with animals where I can ask them to sit on the floor while I do my work. That's how I know that my decision not having children is the right one for me.
That's a great point. And I do want to pick your brain a little bit since you are in a different country. I get asked a lot to bring people on to the podcast and to have discussions about what does infertility or what does family building look like in other countries? Do you feel, even as an American living in Spain, you've lived there long enough, do you see that culture as something that is respectful or at least considerate of women's choices to become parents? Or is that still very much ingrained into the culture there?
Wow, what a wonderful question. I would say that when I first moved to Spain, I felt that I was back in the 1950s in the States. The culture was up to that point in development, and I still think it's about there. Getting married and having children is pretty much the most important thing you can do. There's still a lot of sexism that they would not recognize as sexism, but as an American, I see it as that. No right or wrong there. Your question is, how does the culture put maybe pressure on you to get married and have children? Is that what you're asking, right?
Yeah. Is it more maybe archaic in that sense, if we want to use that word, as far as the expectation there of women still being forced into just having children and or getting married and having children?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's so much forced, but the expectation right. is really rock solid. It's solidly built in the traditional marriage and children. Yeah. And if you're going to have friends, then you feel very, very isolated if you don't have children. And it doesn't happen because once your group of friends in this culture, at least in Valencia, in this culture, you make friends when you're in high school, you make friends when you're in university, and those are your friends for life. And once one person starts having babies, one couple, then everyone starts having babies because otherwise you don't have much in common. So it's very societal, very cultural. Yeah.
Yeah. And from your perspective, obviously you're an American living there, but also just as a child-free woman and an unmarried woman living there, did you find it difficult to create relationships?
Again, wonderful question. I think that I am a complete anomaly here. They don't know what to make of me. I came when I was 40, so I was older and I had a little more of a sense of who I was. So I didn't really care that much what they thought and I wasn't going to change it anyway. But if I'd come when I was younger or if I'd come wanting a family, it would have been very much of a challenge because it is not easy to make friends here. And again, you have your group of friends. And then you have the families are rock solidly tied. You don't do anything with your family. You don't do anything without your family. You go on trips with them. Every weekend is usually at a barbecue on Sundays with them, the paella. All holidays are with your family or with your friends. So if I had wanted a family, if I had wanted children, it would have been, this is the wrong place to come to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd love to, that's my goal this season for the podcast is to try to get those native people from different countries on to speak to that point. And if they are child-free by choice or childless, not by choice, whatever the circumstances are, I would love to just be able to speak to them and see how do you navigate that culture that's such ingrained in family and childbearing and propagation, and how do you find fulfillment with that? I would love to just be able to speak to someone that has that opinion or that perspective.
I'll find someone for you in Spain or in another country. I'll find someone for you.
Yeah, I would love that.
But having said that, just remember that it's filtered through their cultural experience where they may not even admit that's something they didn't want, but they did it anyway. So it's hard. You need to find someone who is very introspective.
Yeah, so. No, that's a great point. So what you're doing now, you're a teacher trainer. How did that, you said that really fills your cup. Can you speak to that and what you've been doing in that capacity over there?
Sure. I've been a teacher for about 30 years and it really did it for me. I never expected to be a teacher where I was growing up. Nobody became teachers and it just happened. And I looked into my students' eyes the first times I started tutoring. And when they smiled, when I found some way to engage them, my heart opened up. And again, it was the way I could handle it. I had enough contact with them that I could let down my guard. But then they were gone. They went to their families. So it was perfect for me. And after I think I was a teacher in the classroom for 10 years, I realized that I was not as engaged and not as excited. It was not exciting for me. And so it wasn't exciting for my students. And I realized I still had something to say. So I wanted to help teachers become more dynamic in their classes. And that felt wonderful. So I would go into the classroom with the teachers, watch the students' eyes light up and think, I've done my work today. I'm good. And so the teacher training I absolutely love. I have books on these activities and I do workshops and I do it because it's fulfilling and it's what I can handle in life.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I think I'm sure that if you talk to any of those former students or your teacher trainers or teachers that you train, they would say that you've made a huge impact in your life. And I want to speak to that and thank you for that because some of my greatest mentors growing up were women that did not have children either by choice or by circumstance. And so I think it's important that young girls, and even on the other side, young boys maybe have male figures in their lives that are mentors that do not have children. Because then you do get to see, or maybe you do get even more individualized attention because you don't have those other obligations outside of your work. So I want to thank you for doing that. And I do get asked a lot from women who are struggling with their infertility and things like that, but they worry about regret. They worry about, if I never have children, is it something that I'm going to regret? And it seems like, and I want to ask you too, but it seems like every woman that I talk to that is either child-free by choice or childless, child-free by circumstance, whatever you want to define it as, they don't regret it. And so even if they've gone through, like me, even if they've gone through an infertility journey, I don't regret my journey. And I also don't regret my decision to end that journey. So I want to ask you that. Is there any regret there now looking back that you didn't have children?
I can honestly say no, I don't have regrets. And probably it's because, again, we need to be clear about what children mean for us. Everyone has a different answer to that. And I did not have a satisfactory reason ever to need a biological child. And so why would I regret? I don't believe in regrets, first of all, and I don't have any about that specifically. So I love that question. And what I would say to girls and women, think about what the underlying reason is you want that child. And don't worry if it doesn't come along, because we have so much to offer in so many other ways to this world, to other people. And maybe our gift is to dedicate ourselves to something else. And I know that's easy to say, but I also really, really deeply believe that.
I think both of us are living embodiments of that. I never in a million years would have told you during my infertility journey that it was something that would then transition into what I'm doing now with the podcast and with the coaching program and the community. And it's filled my cup more than I ever would have imagined. And so it's just something that, yeah, I don't regret it at all. And like you said, I love that you don't believe in regret, first of all. But yeah, that sentiment seems to be consistent whenever I ask the question, is that the answer is no, we don't regret our choices. So,
no, and I will say something a little bit delicate, Charlie, that the fact that you went through everything you have and that you didn't have children is what has brought you to this broadcast. And now you are reaching people who have been in similar situations. And I hear in your voice that you are helping people. So that might be your mission. And I think that's something
you
to really validate. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that kind of segues nicely into my last question, which I always ask every guest on the podcast. But if you, and it doesn't have to relate to your family building choices or anything, if you could tell your 18-year-old self one piece of advice that has really defined who you are and your life as it turned out, what is that piece of advice that you would tell that girl?
I would just say, you're going to find what is going to nurture you so that you can nurture the people around you in different ways.
I love that. It does. So Donna, I want to thank you so much again for coming on today. And if people want to reach out to you just to talk about their situations or learn more about your teacher trainer programs, where can they find you?
Oh, that's a great question. You can always find me on my webpage, even if it has to do with not having children. You can go to my educational website, which is called scaffoldingmagic.com. And there is an inference about fairy tales in there. And send me a message, please. I would absolutely love to answer any questions you have. Although you, Charlie, you are the person they really need to talk to, but I'm very happy to answer them if they want to.
I think it's great to have a lot of different people in your support system and in your back pocket to reach out to. So we'll put all of Donna's information in the show notes if you want to reach out to her and get more information. But thank you again, Donna, so much for coming on and offering this different perspective. And I think it's really going to resonate with a lot of the listeners and offer them the chance to reflect.
Thank you so much, Charlie. You are just incredible in this, being so flexible and looking at things from different sides. So this is a benefit to all your listeners. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. You're incredible, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button because you don't want to miss next week's. And the other thing I want you to do after listening to this episode is this. visit www.charliedice.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. Every week, I send you a short email that gives you actionable steps you can take to start feeling more like yourself again. You'll get things like stories from previous podcast guests, things they didn't share during the show, tips for navigating the workplace as a childless, child-free person, and conversation starters for family gatherings, and so much more. Check it out.